Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
We have a quorum. Madam President, there are two members who are absent, Member Scott and Member Rutherford, and they are excused.
The board goals. Mr. Larson.
Thank you. Matanuska Susitna Borough School District, vision, mission, beliefs, value, goals, and objectives. Vision: Matsu Borough School District will have a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission: Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs: we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and the best interest of our students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Core values: stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, collaboration, and commitment. Our goals: we will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase their graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. Annual objectives and accountability: assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines. Thank you.
All right, we'd like to ask Mr. Ernie Kirby to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I move the approval of the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to putting the agenda forward? Seeing no objection, we will move forward with the agenda. That takes us to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk.
Set. Public comment pertaining to education on non-agenda items is limited to 3 minutes per person per meeting. There will be up to 1 hour for persons to be heard. This is the first half hour. Public comment on agenda items will be taken at the time the item is considered. First, the speaker states his or her name for the record. Second, the speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. Fourth, the speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. Fifth, the speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. First on our list is Garvin Bukharia.
3 points I would like to make. This involves the effect of the new Iditarod Elementary School site on the homeowners on the Iditaway Park subdivision. Number one, I request that this school board adopt the alternate access to the east for the bus loop. Number two, I recommend the borough assembly approve alternate access on the east to the borough school site. And I'd like this subject to be elevated for some sort of a discussion this evening. I tend to make things simple. The packet you have received has some photographs, plus a letter to Dr. Paramo, plus my sketch, which I will put on this easel. There is a access to the water reservoir on the Wasilla Fishhook, excuse me, on the Carpenter, excuse me, this copy got cut off here, on the water reservoir access drive, which should show to the extreme east, as you see here on this visual, on this easel, to the east. The high school property is to the extreme east. The elementary school site is immediately to the west, and that access is a maintained gravel drive, which is no more than 25 to 30 feet around the corner from East Carpenter Circle. By making this adjustment, you would greatly reduce the problems of access across from the Hall property and the Ludlam property, which are immediately across from where this approved site plan has visualized it, as you see here in this presentation, which I believe will be covered this evening. What does this do? It removes the direct conflict with the Hall's driveway. It protects the vegetation buffer from the school site. It eliminates a road crossing of the pedestrian bike path, which was one of the conditions which the Wasilla City Planning Commission imposed upon the school district. It also will facilitate a continuous.
There are no other people signed up to talk at this time.
Is there any member of the public who would like to come forward and speak tonight? All right, seeing none, we will move on to, I understand we don't have an administrative report tonight, so we will move on to borough and city reports. So I see Mr. Mayor Bert Cottle from the city of Wasilla.
Madam President, board members, Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I just want to say thank you for a couple things tonight. Number one is thank you for your work you've done on Iditarod School. This summer, not only will we start the Iditarod School, we will also start the new library. And I think they will start actually the same month. Also, with the governor's inaugural ball coming up this Friday night at the City of Wasilla, I again want to thank you for allowing us to partner up with Career Tech. I think it's going to be a great event. And I know Mike over there and the whole staff has been working real hard to make sure this is gonna go off real good. Also, at our last council meeting, it was the first meeting that we had a student representative from Wasilla High School, from Mr. Jensen's class. And I'm scared about my reelection. She did an excellent job. She did better than a lot of us did. So again, just thank you for the partnership. She did a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving down, we will move to Student Advisory Board Representative, Member Williams.
The Student Advisory Board has not met since our last meeting, but our next meeting will be on February 10th from 9 a.m. to noon at Wasilla Middle School. Seeing the Anchorage Student Advisory Board from 9 a.m. to noon here at district office, which we are looking forward to. It's a fun time. We love getting together with our sister city Student Advisory Board. But thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Promo.
Thank you, Madam President. Just to update the board, lots of wonderful things are happening. We do have two set reports on the bond and the budget, and I'm gonna go ahead and start with the bond update we have the borough coming forward. But just wanna let you know that the City of Wasilla and the Menard Sports Complex, we are hosting regions this year for hockey, and that is going to take place this weekend. So we're happy to bring lots of folks to the Valley to spend their money and celebrate hockey with us. In addition, it is School Counselors Week, and so we're celebrating that in our schools. It is National School Board Appreciation Month, and we will appreciate our school board at our next meeting, because we certainly do that. This Saturday is Battle of the Books. It is a very hyped up competition. It is one of the best competitions we have. It's located at Kinnick Elementary at 9 o'clock on Saturday, if you're available. But we have just lots of good things going on this second semester. And immediately the week prior to, or the Monday and Tuesday rather, prior to our next meeting, will be parent-teacher conferences, so the 16th and 17th. We handle those a little bit earlier than the end of the third quarter, so that if there are any concerns, they can always be addressed. And so I just want to say that we're happy to be into February and move in then right into March. But with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over, and we'll do the bond update and then the budget update, because it might take a little long. Not yours, of course.
Good evening, Dr. Promo, Ms. Poucher, fellow school board members. Technical difficulties here again. I'm Jeff Walden from Atsu Borough Capital Projects for your monthly update. As this is the first one of 2015, the last one is from early December, and I'd like to personally thank you for the letter that the school board sent to the mayor on December 9th, thanking us, and I'd like to just personally thank you. That meant a lot, and that letter was shared with the entire Capital Projects Department. I'd also like to thank you for the awesome participation we had at the Reddington and Crew Tech High School tours that we had last week. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about, do a quick review of school bond projects that have been completed, an update on school bond projects in progress, and the status of upcoming projects. This is the same slide you saw in December, with the exception of the Palmer High School administration roof. That's approximately 2,000 square foot of roof over Palmer High School, over the administration area where the principal's office is, was done over Christmas break. Willow Elementary School roof, I went ahead and put on there as complete. I'm doing a final inspection on that first thing AM tomorrow morning. Just to give you a little overview on Willow and why that took longer than anticipated. We were hoping to get that done over Christmas break, but the front section of that building that faces the highway is an extremely old section of the building, and it was discovered that some structure sheeting needed upgraded. That migrated into replacing some insulation, which migrated into we're here, we have leaky windows. We changed the windows, new siding, so that area of the school received some significant upgrades, and the temperature differential in that building is vastly improved to what it was prior to this work. You'd walk into that section of school, you could feel a 4-degree temperature drop, and that's no longer the case. I'm sure that's because of the new windows and the insulation. Large projects in progress. We have Crew Tech, Joe Reddington, Athletic Field Improvements, Denina Elementary, and Iditarod Elementary. Crew Tech High School addition, for those of you who were able to make that tour, you can see we're approximately 75% complete. I think we're on schedule. I'd almost say ahead of schedule, but we'll stick with on schedule. Things are going very smoothly, and I anticipate no problems for opening up this school year. Here's a couple of pictures. One thing I noticed, the project manager, Robert Scott, during his tour, pointed out that the building is sort of a learning platform with exposed cable trays, and I thought this picture was a good example of that. And this is a picture of the boiler from the hallway, so the students can walk down the hallway and see the boilers. And this is a picture of the main lobby that joins the existing main lobby, and once they take out the structural divider there, that'll be one great big nice lobby area. Joe Reddington, 70% complete. As far as the facility goes, I would say it's on par with Crew Tech, but there's some more site development there, so that's why it's a little bit behind Crew Tech. But the same situation applies. I'm feeling very well as far as where we are, and comfortable that we will be ready for this year school opening. Here's a picture that was taken during a tour, one of the library and one of the classroom. Athletic field improvements. The work that was advertised last year and was done late summer and the fall is now complete. The remaining work is 100% design and is currently as advertised for construction. Bids for that work are due February 27th. And that work includes a rubber track at Sioux Valley, a track at Palmer Junior Middle, ball field upgrades at Wasilla High, and ice rink upgrades at Glacier View. Denina Elementary, we're 100% design. That is advertised right now for construction. Currently, bids are due February 18th. I just found out this afternoon there were some issues with bond sales that resulted, and I won't have access money to the money until April 21. We were hoping to award this March 17th. It's not a deal breaker. I'd rather award it in March, but we'll deal with awarding it in April 21st. The only complication there is road restrictions, but we'll figure it out. I did Iditarod Elementary School, 95% design. That was presented to the assembly last night. I expect bid documents next week, and we'll get that on the street, and we'll award that school at the same time at April 21st meeting. Also on Iditarod, I will be briefing the City of Wasilla this Monday, February 9th. And we met with the Planning Commission on January 20th. I think John Weir mentioned in his 95% presentation that that site plan was adjusted during that meeting and that they approved the site plan that you've since been passed out. Additional projects, backup generators. AMC is 100% designed. We have bid documents in hand right now. We'll have them to purchasing this week, and it will be on the street very shortly. One thing that has resulted of this design, now that we have a cost estimate, the four schools that will get a complete generator will be Wasilla Middle, Wasilla High, and Palmer High. So I missed one there. There's one more. But actually, I'm sorry, it's Palmer Junior. So it's Wasilla Middle, Wasilla High, Palmer High, and Palmer Junior. So when this budget went forward to Department of Education, it was the plan was to get some E-circuits on the generators, and as design evolved, we thought let's do it right the first time, and it turned into a complete generator replacement at these locations. So once we're done, these schools, the entire school will be on the generator. And the rest of the schools that are allowed on this project agreement, if there's money available, they're all designed and we'll award as we see fit. But right now we're looking like we only get four schools done. Restroom renovation, wash basins. Orion Construction has this contract. Schools include Butte, Cottonwood Creek, Pioneer Peak, Palmer High, Wasilla Middle. And this work will start as school breaks allow. I'm anticipating probably nothing will happen until this summer when school's out of session, and this is the easy amount of work to get done over summer break. Big Lake Elementary School renovation phase two. Proposals were received. Stantec was the highest scored proposer. This work includes flooring, lighting, and information technology upgrades, as well as some parking lot and drainage upgrades. And this work will occur this summer. ADA upgrades district-wide, we're currently at 95% design, and we'll have that on the street here very soon for construction this summer. And like I've said before, this involves ADA upgrades at the middle school and high schools throughout the district, and it ranges from parking lot improvements to signage to widening doors, a couple automatic door openers. It's just a variety of things throughout the district. Houston High School exterior upgades. Occlutinus Services has that contract. Construction is in progress. It's going a little slower than I desire, but they are making progress, and we're anticipating that work will be done by the end of March. District-wide energy upgrades. We received 9 proposals. Architects Alaska was the highest scored, and the assembly approved that contract last night. It looks like that work will mainly involve lights and windows. And district-wide HVAC upgrades, 7 proposals received, and a contract to PDC Engineers was approved by the assembly last night. And it looks like the bulk of that work will probably be automated building systems, which will improve air temperatures and balancing throughout our school district. Balance from the roof bond. The roof survey was completed at these eight schools by BDS, and the first survey presentation will occur this Friday morning at the maintenance office. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
I don't see any questions. Thank you for your presentation. It's always very thorough, and we enjoy it.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
For the budget presentation, Luke is going to join me. We do have a presentation for you for which we're doing a trial run, if you will. As you know, we have four community budget presentations that will start on February 10th, 12th, 17th, and 19th at different places around the valley. Those are listed online and advertised on our website, as well as all the information that we're presenting today, the PowerPoint. We're presenting you with a little movie that's also will be linked to YouTube, actually, because we don't want to use the space on our website, but let folks go to it if they'd like. The dividers that you see on the left side are the presentation panels will be moved on the road, if you will, to demonstrate and have small group discussions with the experts on the budget. We started our budget survey, so we're going to take information from parents. As you know, last year, one of the challenges was prior years even is to just reach out to more folks. We need to reach out to more folks, so we've moved the budget presentations around, added more online, and we are up to over 500 of our community members responding about their priorities to the budget survey. And this really assists us when we need to move quickly in the beginning of the year. If additional students come in or there's additional revenue, we know that our board prioritized those expectations in the year prior. So we're able to move on that. And over the last several years, the number one priority for our community was class size. And of course, safety, and so we've had, we've immediately moved to those items to be sure that we're meeting the needs for which our constituents and the board has voted. So without further ado, I want to share with you a video that our very own Carly Williams, we asked her to assist us in the budget. And every year we like to explain to folks how the budget is actually made and what this looks like. And it is all regulated, of course, in statute, and there's lots of metrics and different pieces of information that goes into it, but we try to narrow it down really to a very simplistic explanation. And we, the budget department, along with Luke Volpe, his folks, wrote a script and instruction through Kathy Moffitt, assisted with making the video. But your very own Carly Williams is the star. So let's cue that video up and get about a seven-minute brief introduction to how a budget is made.
Hi, I'm Carly Williams, the Student Advisory Board Student Representative for the Mat-Su Borough School District. I work closely with the school board, bringing our student voices to their attention in order to create positive change in our schools. The school district budget is often a large part of our bi-monthly discussions, so I'd like to explain our annual budget to you. Specifically, this overview includes a look at the budget development timeline and a description of revenue and expenses. But first things first. Put simply, the school district's budget is an explanation of the revenue and expenses we anticipate for the coming year and how they balance. MSBSD's budget is a dynamic document that fluctuates based on the information known at any given time. Let's start by discussing the budget development timeline. The annual budget process for any given year really begins about 9 months prior to the start of that fiscal year, in October. As we cheer on our friends at football and volleyball games, the budget department is hard at work. Using an average of the current and prior year's actual enrollment, and including factors such as live birth rates and economic trends, the projection of upcoming school year's enrollment is established and sent to the state. Then the budget department begins calculating what the projected revenue will be based on what we know about the state foundation formula. The district begins looking at teacher staffing while we are on winter break and tries to predict costs that may impact the district, such as changes in curriculum or new programs. Then, as school is starting in January, the district presents a prospective budget to the school board. In February, the business department hosts budget open houses at several of our schools in order to gather public opinion, give insight to the budget, answer questions, and gather results from an online survey. Students are always welcome to attend too. While we relax on spring break, the budget is finalized and prepared for presentation to the borough. The school board approves the budget in June while we are on summer vacation. Once an adopted budget is in place for the start of the fiscal year, adjustments are made to the revenue and expense figures based on the actual number of students that are enrolled for school. Given this calendar, there are some timing challenges in the budget development process. The biggest hurdle is that the school district must issue teacher contracts for the coming school year prior to actually knowing the full extent of funding. This is based on state law. MSBSD is also required to submit its budget to the borough in April prior to knowing official funding amounts from the state. This causes uncertainty in most budgetary figures. Throughout this budget development process, MSBSD calculates its anticipated revenue. Operating revenue includes federal, state, and local funding. We also receive other local revenue in forms of grants, fees, and donations. As I mentioned briefly, the majority of MSBSD's funding is based on the State Foundation Formula, a process used by the state of Alaska to identify and distribute funding in an equitable manner to all public school districts in the state. The State Foundation Formula is driven by enrollment, and as enrollment increases, funding increases. As enrollment goes down, so does funding. The number of enrolled students are counted and tracked for 20 consecutive school days every October. The result of this count is called the Average Daily Membership, or ADM, and forms the basis of our funding. There are six factors that play into the State Foundation Formula in addition to our enrollment. They are school size, the district cost factor, special needs student enrollment, vocational education, correspondence student enrollment, and intensive needs student enrollment. As each factor is applied to the average daily membership, we get what's called an adjusted average daily membership, or the adjusted ADM. This is used to determine our per pupil funding and is always a larger number than the ADM. After each factor is applied to the ADM and MSBSD has adjusted the ADM, they multiply that by the base student allocation, or the BSA. The BSA changes depending on what our state elected officials decide during their legislative session. The adjusted ADM multiplied by the base student allocation determines the school district's basic need. Basic need is the minimum amount of money that the state says it should cost to run our school district. In addition to state funding, the school district receives an annual appropriation from the Mat-Su Borough. This appropriation is referred to as the local contribution and typically makes up 25% of the operating revenue for the school system. Now that we've explored MSBSD's revenue, let's take a closer look at expenses. Expenses must cover the salaries and benefits for all teachers and support staff, supplies for each school, and discretionary money that is used to purchase textbooks, supplies, furniture, computers, and more. Budget department works with departments to identify one-time expenses like purchasing lockers or helmets, and recurring expenses like lunch, food, and art supplies that will be incurred in the coming year. So imagine you're walking into your school before the first bell rings. The flags posted outside the building, the textbooks in your locker, the basketballs you use in gym class, modeling clay in the art room, paint on the walls, computers and internet access used for your online classes, and don't forget that it costs money to heat and power each school. All of these are examples of expenses found in the district's annual budget. But the largest expense to the district is employee costs. MSBSD has negotiated agreements with 4 employee groups that outline salaries, benefits, and other conditions of employment. In order to staff classrooms appropriately, the school board considers input while setting pupil-teacher ratios during the budget development process. This requires a lot of open communication, setting of priorities, and an understanding of available funds. The school district's budget department compiles all of this information in the annual budget document, which is available online at the school district's website. This award-winning document outlines all anticipated expenses and revenues and is similar to a final English paper and math exam combined. As you can see, the Mat-Su Borough School District budget process involves many key players, lots of calculations, and a perseverance to see it through the end. But I can assure you that students' needs are at the heart of every discussion. If you have any questions about the budget process, please feel free to contact Business Services at 907-761-4001. The Mat-Su Borough School District looks forward to hearing from you and serving you in the future. Thank you.
We turned that out really last week. We let her know last board meeting, and from last board meeting to this, that's the quality of work that Carly does. So with that, Carly, I guess we're going to watch it again. No, just we just wanted to present to you an award for the best actress of the budget presentation, as well as this will be your first acting paycheck, so you are now a professional. Thank you. So we will have that video for access. We hope it goes viral across the state, if not the nation, to say this is how you make a school budget. But with that, Luke and I are just going to present the general overview. Actually, I'll be doing the general overview, and Luke will dig down deeper into the budget numbers and how they were created and the assumptions for which we based the projections for both revenue as well as expenditures. So as Carly mentioned, we do have a budget calendar, and I'm just going to show you that very quickly. The month of January just passed, and we did have just a very simple update about what you would be seeing through this long process. And of course, as Carly mentioned, it really
is... I'm sorry, Dr. Prom, if I could interrupt. I just need tech support to be able to drive the budget presentation. They did.
They did.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you driving now? He's driving. Okay. So in January, we did have just a simple budget update. As Carly mentioned in the video, it really is a nine-month process. It's very long, 8 to 9 months. So here we are in February. We are going to have 2 scheduled board meetings. And in addition, staff will be at 4 public budget open houses. We encourage the board to pick one or two that you'd like to attend. You can talk with the public, answer any questions as well. But what the information you'll be being presented with this evening will be shared at those times. In addition, I had mentioned that the budget survey is actually online as we're speaking, so folks can put in their priorities. This month really is just an update, sharing information, because the real information that drives our budget comes from 2 other sources. As you know, we do not make money, generate money, tax. We don't have any taxing authority. We basically receive revenue and through our enrollment. So in March, you'll see that we'll adopt and ask you to adopt a preliminary budget. It will be adjusted according to your desires, what you hear, the survey, things like that. And that preliminary budget will be voted on and to the borough by April 1st. And that is an ordinance, part of an ordinance that we must follow. So we'll also have 2 more budget updates in April. And of course, as you know, the largest sum of funds comes from the state. And by April 15th, we will know, as the state adjourns, how much money will actually flow through the borough into the school district's operating funds. At that time, the borough will just set their minimum contribution based on that basic need that the state provides. And many school districts, just so you know, at this time get their full amount, but the way that our process works in MATSU is that the borough then goes through their budget process and their hearings and then applies a number. Other areas, of course, find out early because they're about 100%, and our borough takes a bit of time to understand and how much we need. So in May, we'll have a couple more budget updates according with any new information that may come out. And of course, that's when the borough will deliberate on their overall borough budget. They also have open houses and feedback for the community as well, not only on our budget, but other areas of the borough for which the borough supports. Then in June, we look to find the amount of funds that we request from the borough if they do come in, add it to the state's, and we will present a final budget for adoption by the school board. And we hope to do that in very early June, and if that is the case, then this board takes a respite at the second meeting in June. There have been times, however, when we've gone to the second meeting in June. But the last 3 years, we've been able to really have this neatly done by the first meeting in June. So that's just our months ahead of us. They're going to be quite exciting and informative. Of course, the biggest part of the budget and the way, the manner in which the revenue is generated through the state is by the ADM, or the enrollment, for which Carly mentioned. And we do have projections all the way out to FY19. Now, these, in speaking with Luke, these are very difficult to simplify. It is a very intricate manner in which we study both cohorts of schools, individual schools, as well as the district, as well as live births. And so, as you notice, we rise, and then 4 years out from now, we're going to see a little dip. And this is truly off of doing those metrics. And so whether it's live births or just a cohort survival mathematics. And of course, MATSU, as you can see on the bottom, we have the furthest we've ever been off is 2.2%. So that's a 97.8. And so we are quite good, our budget department, in determining our student enrollment. So the funding overview, I'm just going to hit on that. Of course, this is where our monies come from, oil revenue. Carly mentioned that about 25%, a quarter of the funds come from the local borough taxes. 75% of the funds, approximately, come from state funding. We do have federal funds. Most of the revenue at the federal level is directed to specific operations. So they would be grants that specifically cover a certain procedure or act that we do in the school district. So if you want to say there's strings attached, they are received for certain purposes. So state and local funding, there has been new information since the budget, or since the governor provided a state of the budget address. It has been in the news. You'd have to not be on social media or any kind of news media or anything if you didn't know that oil has significantly decreased per barrel. And I believe that our state funding is in response to this. Of course, last year, House Bill 278 provided funds for FY15, which is this current year, FY16 and FY17. So essentially, they provided a set amount and a guide for which school districts could plan and count on. And the initial increase to the BSA for this current year was $150, with $50 increasing in the two subsequent years. The governor has kept in the $50 increase for next year. However, the one-time monies, which was $32 million across the state, have been removed at this time from the governor's plan. And They were placed in House Bill 278. So leaving last year, moving into this year, we felt as though we had a three-year plan to move forward. We provided, that's guidance that we really did all of our contracts on, whether they were for, you know, thinking about our schools, our employees. But for our district, it is a $4 million decrease. So of the $32 million, it is provided to school districts through the average daily membership, through the formula, and Mat-Su Borough School District was to receive $4 million. In local funding, we will continue, as the board has determined in the past. We understand that the borough increases about 1.5%, but we have requested a 3% increase until we are at a place that are near our neighbors, and we are the second largest school district, so between Fairbanks and Anchorage. And in addition to that 3%, there will be a recommendation from administration to also request of the borough to allow us to keep our fund balance as they did last year. If you recall, last year they did not increase the school district's budget, however, allowed the school district to maintain the 25% of fund balance. So here's our long-term forecast in more detail from our Assistant Superintendent of Business Operations, Luke Fulp.
Thank you, Dr. Promo, members of the school board. I'm just going to quickly review this with you. And within this long-term forecast is the current year's budget, so you'll get an idea of what we're looking at in terms of a deficit, given some of the assumptions that Dr. Promo just laid out. For the revenue assumptions, I won't read each line item, but they are here for completeness, and this is on the website, so we wanted to make sure that the public understood exactly what we were assuming in this forecast. That's always important with so many variables that could change over time. One is, of course, borough revenue continues to increase at 3% every year. The state foundation formula, we only included that $50 on the BSA. No one-time monies. We maintained intensive student count at 434. However, our projected enrollment is slated to increase based on those the cohort survival method as laid out in previous slides. And then we held state on behalf rates at the same level as FY16. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with the actuarial rates that are set by the Alaska Retirement Management Board, but nonetheless, we book both the revenue and the expense, and there's no net, there's zero net impact to the budget. So we held those constant. I'm ending up going through every single bullet point, so might as well. Last two is just that federal revenue maintains with zero increase or decrease, and then other local receipts maintains with no increase or decrease either. So that's revenue. And then on the expense assumptions, we really have worked well with the HR department, the budget department, and the HR department working together on pulling all of this data together. And in looking at that information, we've established factors for annual step movement for certificated and non-certificated. It's very much a result of how many folks are eligible for step movement, and that's how these rates were identified. We looked at the current staffing, where they're at on the salary schedule, the percentage of the total group that's eligible for step movement, and then what is the average step, what is the increase in the average step. So taking that all together, we got 1.6% for certified staff, 3.4% for non-certified. We applied that in the out years. For the upcoming budget, what we did was we moved folks forward. We looked at more on a granular level and actually took each position that we currently hold and maintained that or added positions for situations like Reddington High School and increasing services based on additional students. We also included an attrition adjustment. That math is based on what we have available to us within the HR department. All negotiated agreements have one-time bonuses built in that really mirrors the one-time payments that we were receiving from the state or currently are, but was the one-time payments that are taken out of the governor's budget. So all negotiated one-time bonuses are included. That goes through FY17, which is the end of the term for the negotiated agreement. Health and life insurance are increasing at 6%, which is a bit lower than last year. We were projecting at 8%. We've seen a downward trend nationally. We have some studies that back that up. And so in terms of the market for healthcare, it is improving, but it's still a 6% increase is what we're seeing based on two studies that we pulled. All other deduction factors are maintained with any increase due to salary factors. And then we've built in a contingency of 1% of total salaries and benefits. That amounts to about $1.5 million. And that sounds like a lot of money, but for total salaries and benefits for this school district's general fund, you're looking at $180 million. So it's really prudent of us to set at least 1% aside for those contingencies and for any enrollment fluctuations. And then finally, we look more along the lines of non-personnel utilities. We were projecting previously at a 10% increase. We've changed that, not only the way we're managing that within our budget, we're trying to fine tune that area, but then in the out years, we reduced that to 5% because we looked at both historical and in talking with local utilities, what we can anticipate. I know it's kind of a crystal ball, but that's what we have. The insurance bonds premiums, 1.5% increase. And then we have our indirect rate is maintained at 5.5%. And then the indirect that's applied to charter schools is maintained at 4%, which was established in House Bill 278. We wanted to make sure that both of those were in there and represented. And then all other non-personnel accounts are maintained with zero increase or decrease. Those are the metrics in which are kind of the basis for the budget and really dictated at this level. With that, you have for the current year, we are anticipating for FY16 a deficit of $6.4 million. Again, that's without the one-time energy monies, $32 million statewide, amounts to $4 million for the school district. So if that were still included in the budget, we would have a deficit of $2.4 million, the way you could see that. FY17, the deficit is $8.9 million. And then in FY18, kind of a funny thing. Typically what you'll see is the out years getting larger deficits, but in FY18, the deficit actually goes down about $800,000. That's because one-time payments stop as well as the percentage increases for negotiated agreements. So beyond FY17, we did not include those for FY18 and 19. And we have a deficit of 8.1 in FY18, and in 19 we have 10.6. So in graphical form, it's no longer a triangle per se. We had to create a special shape there to fill in the structural deficit, but that's kind of what you'll see there in graphical form. The reason for the spike in the current year, and then it comes down pretty substantially in FY16, I failed to mention this earlier, that's just based on having on-behalf payments built into the budget. And I actually spoke with the chief financial officer for the Division of Retirement and Benefits, got a little bit more insight as to the actuarial rates. This is purely based on the appropriation set aside by the legislature, the $3 billion that they appropriated to the retirement on unfunded liability. So when they did that, they lowered the amount that we have to book on our end, basically. But again, those are net zero adjustments, and you can see that we maintain those in the out years. Contributing factors to the $6.4 million deficit, just to outline it for everyone, kind of where this would come from. Relatively flat funding from the state when you look at our enrollment growth coupled with the BSA and then the elimination of one-time monies. If you looked at the total amount of money we're receiving today from the state and the amount we're expected to receive next year, they very much mirror each other. I believe it's about $159 million. Additional funding from the borough, we're anticipating a 3% increase. That's $1.5 million for us. Increases to the salary schedules due to the cost of living, the COLA adjustments that we built in the negotiated agreements, it should say 1.0 or 1.25. That's $1.4 million. And then additional staffing and regular movement on the salary schedule was the lion's share of this. It's $4.7 million. Health insurance increase at 6%. We split the difference based on terms in the negotiated agreement. We split half of the increase. For the districts, it's about $1.2 million. And then mandatory benefits that increase with salaries is about $200,000. and then other expenses, non-personnel expenses related to enrollment, as well as facilities to heat and power the new facilities and square footage for $400,000. So grand total of about $6.4 million. That just gives everyone an idea of where that deficit comes from as it compares with the current year.
And I would like to add that the last board meeting, we did have our audit presented, and at the current time, we have a little over $10 million, or about 4.8% in fund balance. We had expected and had requested and worked diligently to keep our fund balance four times when it would be needed, and this is a time. However, I don't believe that what's happening at the state is finished. You know, it may not be in House Bill 278. There might be other manners for which revenue is provided the district. I don't believe that it'll be like last year where the fund balance won't ever need to be used, but we worked hard to get that to be able to, you know, as Mr. Larson says, we're trying to roll it down a hill rather than just fall off a cliff. So the additional staffing and regular movement is all based off of the same metrics we have this year. And we know as a board, when you are 85 to 86% of our funds go into people, people is where we would adjust. And we did not do this in this budget to demonstrate that the 6.4 would be our best knowledge about what's coming to us prior to the session. But last year there was zero. There was, you know, different things. So we never say it's over till it's over. But that's why we built it in this manner so that the board could see the true cost if we continued with our metrics for staffing.
That's all we have. So if there's any questions, we can entertain those.
Member Larson.
Looking at that contributing factor, first one, the state, when they passed the House bill last year, that was for a three-year period, correct?
Yes.
And in that three-year period, it had the one-time funding in it. But the governor just didn't put that money in that. But the legislators said that they were going to do that, correct, over that three-year period?
Correct. And the one-time money is still currently in state statute. That's it was built in to House Bill 278. It's what we're going off of is the governor's state of the budget address in which he pulled that money out in his plan to reduce education funding by 2.5%.
But it's in that bill. It's in the state statute. It's there, but it's not going to be funded through the governor's budget, right? Can the legislators fund that if they choose to do so?
Through the chair, yes, they could. It is subject to the governor's veto pen, though. Checks and balances.
Checks and balances. Yeah.
Well, so, this is not unusual for us. We've gone off of the governor's budget to set the preliminary budget, just so everyone has a clear picture of what we're facing.
But on our negotiated contracts, we kind of went off of that House bill one-time money, and that's where a lot of that money that's going out for one-time money also is going out for the next 2 years was off that. I guess that negotiated House bill that everybody was telling us how wonderful it is and that we could look over a three-year period, and now it's not there.
That's correct.
That's correct. So, interesting.
Are there any other questions from the board? Okay, I know I'm planning on coming to two.
Okay.
All right, so I look forward to it out at the schools.
Thank you, and in closing, for the superintendent report, I just want to thank Luke and his team in the budget department, as well as in HR. They really worked to get exact numbers. Our goal is to be sure that we're as close as we can to move forward rather than overestimating or underestimating. And the work that they do in such a small department to have just a quality presentation and numbers that I count on. I just appreciate that, as well as, once again, Carly for letting us spring on an idea onto her, and she just ran with it and did phenomenally. Thank you.
All right, can I have someone move the consent agenda?
I move the consent agenda, item A, the minutes of January 21st, 2015, and item B, 15-063, the recommendation for certified new hires.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to moving the consent agenda? Seeing none, we've moved the consent agenda. I'd like to take a 10-minute break, and we'll meet back here at 7:10. Thank you. Okay, we're going to be back in session. Can I have someone move item A, please?
I move item A, 15-056, Joe Reddington Senior Junior Senior High School and Denina Elementary attendance boundaries.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak on attendance boundaries for Joe Reddington Junior Senior High School or Denina Elementary? Are there any questions from the board? Is there any discussion from the board? Member Larson.
I just want to tell staff how much I appreciate the amount of work that went into the boundary presentations that they did. I've seen them in the past without, like, Dr. Bigham and staff, where it becomes very contentious. But this went very smooth, and I do appreciate the hard work that was put into it. Thank you.
Any other comments? All right, is there any objection to moving forward the Joe Reddington Senior Junior Senior High School and Denina Elementary attendance boundaries? I'm sorry. Member Welton.
Do we have to actually choose which one, or do we just go with the highest point value one?
The recommended one is what we're
Okay, I just wanted to verify.
Unless we have some discussion and you would like to bring forward another.
No. Okay. I just wanted to verify that that was what it was.
All right, so the recommended boundaries. Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, those boundaries pass.
I move 15-060, second reading, BP 5142.3, restraint and seclusion.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this? Are there any questions, final questions from the board on this item? Is there any objection from the board on passing this restraint and seclusion BP policy 5142.3? Seeing no objection, that also passes.
I move C 15-061, second reading, BP 9323, board meeting conduct.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak on this item? All right, can we have an administrative report?
Thank you, Madam President. There were two concerns that arose at our last board meeting. One was the availability of the telephonic testimony for agenda items. It will be for action agenda items. In addition, the IT department will have this fully mobile, which was a question from Dr. Welton. If there are any additional questions, Luke Fulp has the detail. Thank you.
All right, are there any additional questions for Mr. Fulp? Seeing no questions, is there any discussion or comment from the board? Member Welton.
Just want to say that I think that it's a good thing that we will be having this kind of testimony and public comment so that we can have people from outside of the core area hearing, that we can hear from them for this, and not that they can't write us a letter or things like this, but sometimes it feels better to have the actual person speaking. And I think this is a great thing to do.
Thank you. I too think it would be really nice to be able to have people with small children whose kids attend our schools be able to call in and do testimony rather than bringing them all here. It's a real burden sometimes for people. So is there any objection to passing this, moving this forward? Seeing no objection, this item passes. Also, we are down to non-action items. Item A, 15064, new course approval, CTE Natural Resources Pathway. Dr. Prommel.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like the liberty to have staff come up and really address A, B, and C at the same time and remain at the podium, if they may. And with that, adding new coursework comes from the Instruction Department, so I will request Jean Stone to come up and introduce our guests who will speak on the courses at their school. Thank you.
Yeah. Good evening, Madam Chair and school board members, Dr. Prommel. So tonight I have with me, ready to present on these three new pathways, Trish Zug and Principal Mark Okeson. I also have Becky Murphy, our curriculum coordinator. And so I've also been present at the curriculum council meetings as these courses were described and put forth. So go ahead and introduce or have Trish and Mark come up. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Good evening, Madam President, Dr. Prommel, and fellow school board members. I have a full short slideshow that I was going to show you for and just take a few minutes of your time to kind of put this curriculum in context, if you will. I felt like it was advantageous for you to kind of see a vision of where it fits in with our district. So in our school district, we have a wide variety of CTE offerings to our students, and quite frankly, we're really a model for the state in our CTE program. So in the next slide, if you will, am I navigating here? Okay. Sorry about that. These are some terms and some that are really nationwide, statewide, and certainly our guiding principles for CTE here in the district. We have our students start in the eighth grade developing what's called a PLCP, and so there's a lot of acronyms, of course, and CTE is not exempt from those. A personal learning career plan is the opportunity for a student to start a living document that rolls with them as they develop their aspirations as they go through, certainly starting in middle school. Even elementary school, for that matter, high school, and then transitioning into post-secondary next step options. CTEPS is what we guide them with, and that is called a CTE program of study. And so this new curriculum, the tie-in will be, you'll see how those drop into programs of study offerings for our students. Those are built across a scope that have rigorous curriculum, but it's a graduating curriculum, and students can choose to either be concentrators or actual completers in a spectrum of courses. The other thing that we offer, obviously, and maybe you've heard about this at school board meetings, but CTSOs are an opportunity for our students to be involved in activities directly related to their CTE programs, and that gives them opportunity to expand not just their skill set, but to be participating in civic projects, civic activities, as well as gained some real valuable leadership skills. So those are listed up there for you some. And actually, our state conference is coming up here later in March. If you want to visit about that after the meeting, I'd be glad to invite you and have you come visit and see what we do there. Technical preparation, tech prep is the term used, and that is our opportunity for our CTE class to transition from high school to college. And it says college credit and escrow, but essentially what happens is we develop articulation agreements with post-secondary institutions, private, university systems, and have opportunity for our students to get early college credit, credits that would be in that transition plan leading from the curriculum they study in high school and then taking them on to post-secondary. And so really when that shows up, for instance, on a University of Alaska transcript, it's very transparent to any transfer where that would credit might lead them. It shows up just as if they sat in a class in that facility. So those are real valuable credits. Then we're proud that we're able to, as CTE, offer those to our students. Industry certifications is another next step or a transition step, and it's one that students can either take advantage of and have the skill set as a completer to take at the high school level at the end of their program of study. Also, those certifications are they're prepared for those to sometimes take them as their transition into the next step in that industry. And course sharing in our district is where we also can have some of our CTE offerings available to students in maybe other schools that non-traditional schools that don't have as much CTE offerings in their school, but they can come to. So the next slide here will show you. I'm sorry, there'll be in two slides. We'll show you where we have offerings across the district. But this is a sample of what I said was a CTEPS, a CTE program of study, and I just wanted you to be able to see this one. This is a for a medical assistant, and it's a pretty common template that's used across the nation for programs of study, and certainly. You may be familiar with seeing these at a post-secondary level. I know I had them through college. But this would give an opportunity for you to see what a student might take through the course of their high school years. This is actually built around our 7-period day here in the district. Courses that we currently offer. This one in particular has some of the new curriculum on it. You can see the vet assistant, dental assistant, medical assistant across the capstone 11th and 12th grade years. But some of the features on here that are great too is it shows the next steps, post-secondary options for students where they might articulate into 2-year, 4-year options, apprenticeships, military certifications, those type of things. So we have pathways. These would be programs of study. So for clarification, the pathway would be an umbrella term. Programs of study would fit under a pathway. So for instance, a business pathway might have 6 or 7 of these under the particular areas of study for students. And they are also on the CTE portion of the district's website. Two more slides for you. This one was just to give you a flavor of where CTE fits in our district, and it really has its presence in all of our schools. I feel guilty teaching at Career Tech High School because there's a misnomer that that's where Career and Tech Ed is in our district, but it really isn't. We have such a great depth of Career and Tech Ed at so many of our facilities, and they really are opportunities for students to start that program of study. And then the capstone programs where we have an instance of maybe facility or equipment where we can, we don't want to duplicate it for expense purposes, we would have that would be our capstone programs. And those are the ones that we would refer to as like district-wide offerings. And that's leading into this new curriculum that we're going to address here next. So that I think is pretty impressive for our district. And the last slide would be particular to Career Tech, because this is where this new curriculum is going to fit in. Phase 2 of our CTE, phase 1 would have been when years ago when we offered curriculum outside of the school day, and we were able to start some of our capstone programs, evening programs after school, and we were really happy to move those into our pathways at our high school level when the tech school opened. And of course, we still have existing programs that are housed at all the major high schools, welding and ag and those type of things stayed at their existing facility. Building, business, fitness, health and human services, and hospitality are the existing pathways. And so with direct relationship to what's on your agenda tonight would be the phase 3, that's the expansion to open in the fall. three pathways. Really, one is an expansion pathway. That's the Health and Human Services, which is an expansion of the existing intro pharmacology in our really successful certified nursing assistant program. The expansions would be those three curriculum that are around assisting in the medical field and health and human services field. That's dental, vet, and medical assistant. The natural resources is a new pathway for us. It has four new curriculum that are related to it. You can see them listed there. They're also in your packet. Descriptions. I put two descriptors there, incident command and dispatch, because sometimes terminology is difficult, but the difference between emergency management and emergency communication would be along those lines. And then in the transportation, two of those are existing curriculum that have already been approved and are in our district. The newest one there would be the hydraulic and diesel power. So to cap that or recap that, the new curriculum that's in front of you are the eight up there that say new next to them. So I'd be glad to take any questions. Mr. Okeson is here, and
Member Michelson.
It was really helpful last week to go tour the new wing and heard all these terms as we were being toured through, so we can kind of place where these are actually going to be. Could you talk a little bit about process systems?
Sure. Process technology, process systems is a curriculum around how fluid, how power gets moved and processed, anywhere from utilities to oil, power plants, wastewater treatment facilities, operations in those facilities. Really, the entry level is just understanding fluids and pressures. And so we, of course, when we build our curriculum for all our curriculum, it's built on labor statistics and economic forecasts. And so, of course, in the state of Alaska, that's huge. And so we also build our curriculum looking at direct tie-ins to post-secondary and very successful, called the APIC program at UAA, and it's Alaska Process Industry Career Consortiums. A lot of industry folks contribute to that so that we can build program for them to have skilled workforce. Yeah. And that would be a direct tie into those jobs in the process. Like I said, best descriptors are oil, water, electricity.
Yeah. Member Larson.
Going to process system and aviation, being existing curriculum, and you have an exceptionally huge new space, now are you going to expand that curriculum? Or is your new your existing curriculum, will that cover all that extra track, I should
yeah.
say?
I think what we're really excited is that the actual new space is going to allow us to deploy that curriculum as it was originally envisioned, because you know, we had a presence of aviation, and without the facility, now we have the space to actually maybe bring an aircraft in, bring a wing of an aircraft, and have the actual hands-on relevant component, which really makes the curriculum real for students. And so that's what we're excited about, and the existing curriculum absolutely will suffice, and that facility will just enhance it and allow us to actually teach it to the scope of the program of study. And the same thing with the process technology. I think if you took the tour, you're able to see that they have a whole entire teaching wall. A lot of the equipment, supplies, and hands-on relevance for that program haven't really been able to be a reality for students. But now that we have that facility, we're excited that that we can deploy that. So,
are there any other questions from the board? All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right, so since we covered A, B, and C all together, we are down to item D, 15067, Midnight Sun Family Learning Center Charter Renewal. Do we have an administrative report?
Yes, Madam President. Midnight Sun Family Learning Center Charter Renewal. Of course, Midnight Sun is one of our longest-standing charter schools, and I'm going to request Austin Stevenson to come forward, who works with the school. We do have the principal on hand if there's any questions, but he's going to share the process, where we're going to next, and of course, this is in line with, I believe, the board did three other approvals this year as well. So, Austin?
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Paramo, Madam President Pauger. This is the same process that we followed for the other three. We had representations from representatives from instruction, student support services, and business and finance review the charter application. We compared it to the state template that they provided for us and updated it with actually some statutory changes. The review process led to those changes that we outlined in that cover page that we included in your packet. I believe we also included the full charter application in your packet as well. I'm happy to entertain any questions you have.
Are there any other questions, or are there any questions from the school board on this item? Yeah, can we say hello to the principal? Come on up, Mrs. Trzynski.
I would just like to thank Jeannie Trzynski also for her work on, she was very instrumental in having the Wasilla Library come to fruition. So I just appreciate her work, not only at her school, but in the community as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And the bids are out for the Wasilla Public Library, and we will break ground in April or May, and it is going to be beautiful, and we're really excited how it's going to be tied into Wasilla Middle School. In fact, they started working this week with an artist with the art classes there, because we're going to do a joint project for the art in the teen section. It's going to be really neat. So thank you for your support in helping us get the land, because that was really critical. So thank you for that too. And Midnight Sun's amazing. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Ms. Trzynski? All right, seeing none, this comes back up at the next school board meeting. All right, that is the end of our non-action items, so we'll move on to future items, future business. February 18th is another regularly scheduled school board meeting. Then we have a March 4th school board meeting, both here at the central office. Also, we did ask the Borough Assembly to reschedule our joint meeting that is usually right at spring break. They have agreed to reschedule that joint meeting, and they moved it to April 14th, a Tuesday. And they want to hear all about the budget at that April 14th meeting. So that's one to put on your calendars. Is there any other future items or future business? Oh, I'm sorry. Member Wilton reminded me we do have a board vacancy. We will start posting to fill that board vacancy next week. We will, of course, advertise it in all the usual places. And then we'll do it as we have done in the past. We will accept applications, resumes, cover letters from interested people. If we have a whole lot of people, we'll select people to interview. If it's just a handful, we'll probably interview all of them. If it's a lot, we might have to schedule a special meeting. If it's just a few, we might be able to put it in a work session, in a regular meeting. So we do need to fill that position within 30 days of Mrs. Scott's resignation. So we'll move forward with that. The public will hear more when we post it, and we will hopefully get a really good person in that position. Her resignation is of February 19th. All right. So persons to be heard on non-agenda items, this is your second chance to be heard on non-agenda items. We have one person. All right. The rule is we had comments before. Just be nice.
Good evening. I am Allison Wall. I'm the principal at Trapper Creek Elementary. And I just want to take a moment to thank Dr. Paramo for offering the option to our sixth grade students to attend Sioux Valley Junior Senior High School starting next school year. It opens up more options for our students, both academically as well as sports and electives. The students and the parents are very excited about this idea because they see it as a chance for their students to have more options for sports and to grow in a number of areas. Our students are interested in art, computer, things like that, that for a small school, we have difficulty in providing them. So they really just wanted me to come tonight and say thank you very much for giving them that option, because the Lower Valley has had options and choices for quite some time, and it seems the Northern Valley has very few choices and options. So thank you.
Are there any other members of the public who would like to come forward and speak? All right, seeing none, we will move on. Correspondence and board committee reports. We have a committee report from MATSU Central Academic Advisory Committee.
Yes, Madam President. This past Monday, February 2nd, the MATSU Central School Academic Advisory Council met their normal monthly meeting. Member Michelson and I are on that committee. And it was a very busy and productive meeting. The highlight of that meeting was that for about the last, I'd say, hour or so, we broke into three groups, and each group had someone, either a board member, Mr. Michelson or I, or someone from the district in the committee, and we began rewriting the mission statement and vision statement for MATSU Central School, which was quite a daunting task because they had previously been operating under a very lengthy mission statement that had a vision embedded in it somewhere. And the gentleman, Mr. Paul Cossette, who they had leading the activity, really broke it down for us quite well. And it was quite interesting to have a parent, an employee, a staff member from MATSU Central, and then either a school board member or a district person in the groups, and all of us then coming together to bring our thoughts and ideas as to what that more concise and comprehensive mission and vision statement should be. And it was interesting how very close and spot on each group was. So it's in the works, and at our next meeting in March, we are going to hopefully solidify that. And I would just like to say that it is very nice having Member Michelson join that committee. It's nice having him there, and it does add a good mix to everything. So, Member Michelson, thank you for joining and asking to be on that committee. I'm excited that you're there. Thank you.
Do you have anything to add, Member Michelson?
No, not necessarily. Those meetings are rather long, but they're very informative, and I'm learning quite a lot as time goes on. So, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. The other board committee that met was our joint committee with the Borough Assembly. We did talk about the budget and what the governor took out of his budget, brought that forward to the Borough Assembly and assured them that we would be asking for the 3%. We talked about the bond update, which was presented here tonight. We also talked about the tax brochure that we have been asking the borough to change for 3 or 4 years now. There has been a change made, and next summer when you get your little brochure that says it's time to pay your taxes again and where your taxes go, it will be represented appropriately how much does go to schools. What else did we talk about? Do you have anything to add? Okay. You weren't there at the meeting. You don't get to add. All right. So I think that was it for board and committee reports. We're down to comments from school board and administration. Dr. Promo.
Mr. Folt.
Mr. Stone? Okay. I don't have anything to add myself, other than I'm just glad we're moving into February. Very quickly, I might add.
Member Williams.
First off, I want to thank all of our counselors. I know as a high school senior, I'm in there every single day doing transcripts and chatting with our counselors, and I just know how valuable they are within our schools, and I want to thank them for all that they do. And I'm excited to share the new pathways with our student advisory board. They'll be really excited to hear about them. And then I just want to remind everyone about our two meetings coming up in February. The one on the 10th at Wasilla Middle School and our joint meeting with the Anchorage SAB on the 19th here at district office. So, thank you.
Dr. Dearman.
Thank you. Last Wednesday, I worked at the Homeless Connect at the Menard Center all day long, and that was quite enjoyable. If you've never had the opportunity to be a part of that, I highly recommend it. It is quite rewarding. And I visited Kinnick Elementary and had a very enjoyable conversation with the principal there, and she shared many things about that school with me, and it was a great visit. I appreciated her time and the time that she took out of her day to talk with me. I want to thank Mr. Walden again for his continued thorough bond updates. They are a highlight each month, and I think that all of us here on the board appreciate them. And a hats off to all of those involved in the budget presentation, especially to you, Ms. Carley. You did an amazing job, and I am looking forward to attending the budget meeting on February 12th. Up at Sioux Valley High School. And I encourage everyone to please get out and attend these budget meetings. All of you who may be listening, please attend the budget meetings so you know that what is going on in our district and what is in the future, lies ahead in the future for our schools. It is important that you hear it firsthand and not go on what comes down the pike from other people. Please be there and hear it from Mr. Fulp and Dr. Paramo. Thank you very much.
Member Larson.
Thank you. Just to add to your borough school board meeting, sometimes in these meetings we don't think we affect very many of our citizens and people out there, constituents, but after your meeting happened, I got a string of calls because the mayor mentioned the hockey rink over in Wasilla. And by the time it got to me that the borough and the school district were gonna shut it down and or sell it off. So I had to call into central office to find out why you would be doing something like that. But that's how fast a lot of times just a mention of an item in a meeting takes off, and I thought that was just interesting. And I think what it boiled down to is we were just talking about the fact that Eagle River has been coming out using their ice out here because their rink was closed for a long time, and the difference in cost of our ice versus the Anchorage ice. So that discussion happened, but boy, it sure did did come around full circle. I really enjoyed our tours of Career Tech and the new Reddington High School. I look forward to seeing how these Career Tech classes fill up. I understand it's going to be 75 to 100 eighth graders. When we were there touring, we saw an eighth grade class touring. I look forward to seeing what the numbers are, and I really look forward to see how Dr. Promo fills up that new high school, middle school. That's going to be interesting. Very nice facilities to learn in, and very upbeat all the way through, especially well, both facilities. I did visit various schools and go to a lot of functions, and I look forward to going to a a budget meeting. I'm not sure which one yet, but I will be getting out to one of them. If you've ever not gone to one of those are very nice meetings. Hopefully they're well attended this year. I think a lot of times, a lot of the issues are gone by the wayside because it's all on our website also. It's all right there. Thank you.
Member Welton.
Thank you. I want to congratulate Carly for her great job as a spokesperson for the district. I hope you have some aspirations to maybe be a newscaster or something like that. I want to say that the school tours were great. It was wonderful to be able to go to both of the Reddington and the Career and Tech, and really see and feel, you know, the work and the vision. I'm just so excited about it, and thinking about what it'd be like to be in the high school today compared to the high school I was in. And the high school I was in was not bad, but, you know, we're looking back a lot of years. And just the technology and the space and the understanding of what it is for learning environments just has improved over so many years. I want to, you know, support for all the counselors out there in the schools. They don't have easy jobs. Being a mental health counselor, it's a little different, but we often have the crises that are the same as found in high school and middle school. The budget presentation, well done, as far as the introduction to it, and then we have this giant book here, and I will be perusing that. A couple other things I wanted to say. It is good to know that board members volunteer their services in the community, and I appreciate knowing Dr. Dearman worked out at the Homeless Connect. I also did my volunteering and saw Mr. Fulp out at the Recycling Center, I want to put a plug in that the Recycling Center can always use a volunteer, somebody to learn the information, and once you learn the information about recycling, you take it home and you use it, and you can reduce the amount of stuff that goes into the landfill, and that's a savings. So learn those things out there. And I appreciate all the work that everybody put into the budget and to the presentations tonight on the curriculum. Thank you.
Member Michelson.
I'll too thank Carly for the budget presentation. I would say Luke would be in trouble now. You're having some competition for, may have to turn to Carly for further explanation. But speaking of budget, you know, all the state departments, including the Department of Education, are giving up, you know, anywhere between 5% and 8% cuts for this upcoming fiscal year, but also being asked to cut and curtail spending for the current fiscal year as well. And it's getting, in state government, it's getting to the point where we'll likely be experiencing layoffs of actual people losing their jobs instead of just kind of consuming all of the empty positions that we don't tend to keep filled, where we can kind of save that money. So for the first time in my memory for state government, that will likely be laying actual people will be losing their jobs because of the budget crisis that we happen to be in right now. So it was good to hear and good to see that the triangle has turned into more of a rectangle or more of a little bit more stable, a bit more predictable, but not quite as dire, it doesn't look like. But just a little bit at a time is going to be real helpful for us to keep, keep a really close eye on all that. So it's really getting serious in state government now, and there's no reason that we wouldn't feel that as well, as closely connected we are with the Department of Education. So, and then are we sending any, or is anybody going to the legislative fly-in this coming weekend, early next week?
Not in the February one, but we're looking at some March ones.
Okay, good. That might be it. Thank you.
All right. I wanted to say thank you for the budget presentation. You have no idea how understandable it is compared to what I have experienced in my first few years on the board. I really appreciate understanding the budget, being able to explain it to people in normal language without having a degree in accounting. So I appreciate that so much. Counselors Appreciation Week, our high school counselors are very, very busy people, and we appreciate what they do for our students, help our students make plans and get where they want to be for after school. I've heard from quite a few people who want to curtail other people's choices, freedom of choice, choice where to send their children, how to school their children, for something that would be better for them and for their children. In our valley, in our school district, we let parents make the choices as to what would be best for their students. And hopefully, we will always do that. I will always vote for that, that parents have a choice of how they educate their students, and we won't be curtailing choices for those parents because of the opinion of others. With that, we will be going into executive session. Matters of the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government unit, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, matters of confidential legal counsel or pending litigation. We are going into executive session for legal appeal update. In executive session will be the board, Dr. Paramo, Jean Stone, Luke Fulp, Lucy Hope, and Dale Sweetser.
I move that we go into executive session.
I'll second it.
Right, we're in executive session.